with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Delighted to be joined for the next 50 minutes by the former Tranmere manager and Everton coach, Gary Brabbin. Morning to you, Gary.
Morning.
Great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah,
excellent result for Tranmere last night. Presume you're still sort of watching their results eagerly, just following how they're doing this season. They seem to be on a good course at the moment.
Yeah, no, it was. I think it's a good point. Forest Green has started really well, and you know it was always going to be a tough game. But you know, I think it was a good point, especially you know they'll want to have bounced back from a disappointing result on Saturday. So yeah, I think it was a good point for them.
For yourself, and obviously you know your involvement with Tranmere Rovers, you've had a few months away from it now. Have you sort of as the pressure released a little bit from your shoulders? Did it feel a pressurised environment or not?
I think any job that you're in, you put yourself under pressure, you know, because you set your own standards, and so you're always under a bit of pressure. But I think it's a pressure that you don't really realise until it's gone. So it's you know that little bit of you know probably day to day excitement and you know putting that bit of pressure on yourself to achieve what you wanted to do every day. You know, I certainly missed that.
How do you look back at it now? The time you had there.
I enjoyed it. It was good. It was, you know, it was a real good experience. I certainly don't regret taking the job. I'm obviously disappointed that, you know, we'd agreed a 2-year. It was an agreement for 2 years, which, you know, we were well on course for achieving everything that we'd set the goals. And so, from that point of view, you know, I'm disappointed that I've not been able to finish the job. But, you know, I certainly look.
Is that a personal thing, do you think?
In terms of what?
Not being able to finish the job. Do you look at it and think, I could have completed that?
Well, no. I mean,
is it personal frustration or is it?
I think in this day and age, I think it's very, you know, from my point of view, yes, we've been, you know, one of the things we wanted to improve on last season was the home form, which we'd done, you know, and we hadn't been beat away from home. And it was my last two games, if you like, my last two defeats. Our last three games in charge were all away from home. We lost one, drew one and lost one. So, you know, them two defeats were the only two defeats we'd had in 11 months away from home. So from that point of view, it's disappointing. You want a little bit of support at times like that. But, you know, what's happened. You know, you look at jobs and not too many times are you getting relieved or from your duties when you're fourth in the league and 4 points off the top of the league?
Yeah, I mean that looks strange at the time, doesn't it? I don't know. I mean, you stand back and you look at it, and it doesn't massively make sense that amount of point. You know, you're so close to the top of the league, but you're leaving your job at the same time. I suppose that's what I was digging at when I was saying, was it a frustrating situation as well?
Yeah, it was, because it was the best start in the club's history. Best clubs, you know. I was still the current manager of the month as well, so. You know, I think when I come out, it was all the rumours of have you had an argument, and we hadn't. You know, I think from a personal point of view, you know, I think I got on with the chairman. You know, that was, you know, that there was no, certainly no issue with that. But I think, you know, he probably had his frustrations. I certainly had mine, and I think in the end, he's decided to go a different route. Which again, that's the bit where I feel frustrated, because you know we'd agreed. A 2-year project, if you like, which I was confident we were certainly on course to achieve our goal of getting back in the Football League.
Do you think football clubs are too eager these days to sort of move on quickly from, you know, they'll appoint someone, won't they? And before you know it, they've made a different decision, different direction. It's not just individual clubs. It seems like a mass culture of this now.
Yeah, I think you've got certainly a lot of, there's a lot more pressure now, I think, on managers. But I think clubs need to be more transparent with the fans. You know, the fans seem to be heard a lot more now with, you know, with social media, etc. And
yeah.
And I think clubs need to, you know, sort of be a bit more transparent, be realistic. You know, give the manager a chance by saying, look, these are our aims, these are our ambitions, this is our realistic goal, this is what we expect. You know, we all want the same thing, but where we are now, you know, and I think that certainly help a lot of managers. You know, and it goes the other way as well. You look at managers who, you know, they've had real bad times, but you know, it seems to go on and go on.
They've stayed too long.
Yeah, so I think you know it certainly works both ways. But I think most of the time, in them cases, it's the strength of the contract.
And you've had your fair share of managers going back to your playing career. I Wikipedia'd you just to have a. I can't believe how many teams you played for. This is, you must be in some sort of record book here. Stockport County, Gateshead, Runcorn, Doncaster, Bury, Blackpool, a bit at Lincoln, Hull, Boston, Torquay, Chester, the New Saints, so TNS, Halifax, Southport, Burscough, the New Saints. You got quite the playing career, didn't you?
Yeah, I think in the end, I think...
Journeyman or not?
Well, a couple of them years were cut short. I had a bit of a heart scare when I was in my early 30s, and I stopped playing for a couple of years. But
how did that come to light?
It was just, you know, it was a bit of a, you know, it was a bit of an exaggerated, just as a precaution. I went for the checkup at the hospital, and then all of a sudden I'm getting rushed to emergency, and, you know, it was a scary time, scary moment at the time. But
because you thought you were fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, I did, and you know, I think after, you know, months, possibly year plus testing, you know, it was it all come to light, and it was there was a thick the muscle around your heart was supposed to be a certain thickness in most normal human beings, but mine was bigger than, you know, what they'd seen in the past, and, you know, at first he thought it was something not right, but, you know, it's been proved that it was just, you know, I think it was just probably match the size of my neck.
Did that put an end to your playing career, or did you go back and play after that?
I went back and played, but it was mainly, you know, I went over to, it was mainly non-league, you know, when I made the comeback.
So you're a midfielder in your pomp, yeah? Is that where you excelled?
Midfield, centre-half, and then when I made the comeback, I think this heart scare done me the world of good. I was more of a centre-forward, so that...
You didn't have to move as much. Yeah. Well, what sort of managers did you play? I mean, there's quite a variety of teams you played for there, isn't it? At a certain sort of league level of football. Did you learn a lot about management through those playing years?
Yeah, definitely. I think good and bad. I think a lot of people always look at the good manager and learn the best stuff, but I think it's also good to, you know, management's a tough... It's a tough job, and I don't think you realise it until you're actually in it. You know, you can't switch off for a second. You've got so many different personalities, and
who would you pick out then amongst those teams that you worked under?
I think they're all different. You know, I think you're good and bad from, you know, all different. You know, I remember one who is probably not more famous, but was, you know, we all loved playing for him. Do you remember Sammy Chung? He used to be a manager of Wolves, and he was our manager at Doncaster, and he was just such a, you know, he was just such a laid back. He looked like he was going to live forever, no stress. He was
Sammy Chung,
yeah, and he was brilliant to play for. But, you know, I went on as well, and, you know, I've made friends with managers, and who've gone, and, you know, Warren Joyce, who's just left Man United now to go to Wigan. I played for him at Hull, and, you know, and I think there's loads who, you know, good and bad, and. You know, and I think you certainly take a little bit of from everyone.
Was it always the ambition then to go into management? As soon as you sort of felt your playing days were coming to an end, and TNS was your last club, according to this, is that right? Yeah, as a player.
Burscough,
TNS.
Yeah. I went back to TNS, but it was more as a assistant manager. But I played as well. And
so you knew your path then was you wanted your path to be carved out within management.
Yeah, I did, and it was something that you know, I was going down the. You know, like the fitness industry as well at the time. I was doing like a sports science degree, and I was doing a bit of teaching as well, MVQs on you know, sport, you know, muscles, and, you know, just gym instructor awards. So I was sort of a little bit easily to go down that route for me, but I sort of always had an ambition to go into management and the coaching side, which, you know, I've been fortunate certainly had a go at, and something that I long to continue.
Blue, red or white as you grew up?
I'm a blue.
A blue, through, yeah. Blue through and through.
A blue through and through, yeah.
And of course, we'll get on to your involvement with Everton very shortly as well. My guest is Gary Brabin. This is Radio City Talk. We'll talk about his time at Tranmere Rovers and, of course, some of those other clubs, the likes of Southport and Everton.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff. Radio City Talk.
Right, my guest this hour is Gary Brabin, former Tranmere manager and, of course, Everton coach as well. We'll touch on that in a moment or two. So teams managed Southport, Cambridge, Luton, Southport again and Tranmere Rovers and involvement at Everton Football Club. Just at the moment, is your wife getting sick of you at home? Is she ready to kick you out again? Are you ready for a new challenge, Gary?
Yeah, I think certainly the first question, yeah, I think she's had enough. I think she's spent more time at her parents' house in the last few weeks than what she's ever done. But yeah, I think I'm getting at that stage where, but you get a little bit frustrated. I've been in a good place, you know, you sort of make the most of the time while you're out and you're going watching different games and training sessions and it's good to sort of widen your horizons a little bit by seeing what goes on elsewhere. I'm still doing that, but you do get a little bit frustrated at times, and I'm certainly one of them. And I feel like I always have to do something. I've made a bit of a joke at the moment. I'm the most useless DIY person in the world. I've got one claw hammer and a crowbar, and I feel like that Kevin Bacon in Stair of Echoes and destroying the house at the moment. And
you've got nothing else to do.
Yeah, and I do get a bit frustrated at times, but you know, I'm certainly not one of them people who will dive straight into another job. It has to be right. It has to be something that I want to wake up to and enjoy going to work, and something I feel passionate about, and something that I feel I can improve.
Is it easy to get back in the game? People talk about a managerial merry-go-round, whether it be at different divisions, different levels. Is it a straightforward process, do you think?
No, I don't. And I think it is.
Do you have to sell yourself still?
Yeah, you do. I think I think for the jobs that you want, yeah, you have to sell yourself. Mm. And I think it's getting harder as well, because I think nowadays, I think, you know, everyone's media trained, and you know, and I think that's something whenever I try and portray myself, I want it to be this is it, you know, this is what you're going to be working with. So, you know, whereas I think you look at a lot of people now, they're trained, and it's like almost like politicians getting a job, and then you understand why, you know, 6 months down the line there's a breakdown in communication and people aren't getting on, because it's different when you're working. And I think the interview process, you want to see the real person, how he really is, and you know, not coming across of saying all the things that clubs want to hear. You know, it's got to come from the heart, I think, as opposed to the, you know, reading from a script. And I think the job is getting harder. You know, more and more people want to get into management. You know, and you hear some of the names going for jobs, and it is tough. But I think results should speak for themselves, but you know, that's not always the case.
Yeah, it doesn't always work that way, does it? Would you like to think you're at the start of your sort of managerial journey?
Yeah, I think I look at just it's football. You know, I'm not egotistic where, you know, I just want to be I want to be involved, and I want to work with football. And you know, I think I am interested in the development of players. That's why I pursued the job at Everton. You know, it was something that I really enjoyed. And
tell us about that, because you said you're a lifelong Blue. So chance comes. How did the chance arrive, and what was it you were offered within Everton?
It was actually my second stint at Everton. I'd done it a few years earlier, good 10 years or so earlier. But you know, to go when it was the old training ground, whereas now Finch Farm and fantastic facilities.
So it was Belfield initially when you first had it.
Main, but the improved thing. But they were, you know, obviously with the academy with training. But then they had the new Finch Farm, which, you know, fantastic facilities, and it's obviously my club. You know, to go and work with them people every day. There's some fantastic people there and some real good kids, and I did. I enjoyed my time there, and I think anyone who just spoke to me the day before I took the Tranmere job, you know, I had no intentions of leaving Everton. It was a job I loved, and I really did enjoy that side of things.
What were you doing, coaching youngsters?
Yeah, it was, it was called a rotational coach. Mm. So you work with all the older groups, and also, you know, with help and assist David Unsworth which was the under 21s then. And so it was good. It was a variation of age groups as well. So I really enjoyed that.
Quite different, isn't it, from being a football club manager in the pressured environment of a Tranmere to being the coach at Everton, which feels, I don't know, from stepping back from it, feels like quite a more sheltered, consistent environment. Maybe less stress on your shoulders. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, but like I said before, I think you put yourself under stress. I think every day, you know, you want to go go in and set your own standards of what you want to try and get out of that day. And I suppose from a judgmental point of view, there's less stress. But I think you put yourself under that pressure every day to, because you know you want to be perfect every day in everything what you do, and you know you want people to not only enjoy but improve every day. And I think so. You put yourself under pressure, your own type of pressure. But it is a different environment. But you know, I think I like to be, you know, more of a varied coach as opposed to just, you know, nailed down as just solely a manager.
So how did it work? Was it Mark Palios just rang you? Who suggested you should be a manager at Tranmere Rovers? And why did it just sort of fit for you on that day that you thought, right, I'm making the leap?
Yeah, it was a mutual friend who spoke to me and told me of the interest. And you know, at first I was, you know, it was 100%. I was happy doing what I was doing. Like I said, I had no intentions of leaving me job at Everton. And then, you know, it probably happened over a week or so. I'd met Mark a couple of times. And then in the end, it was...
And what do you do? He spells out his vision for the club. You spell out yours. Your timelines have to match, and you have to just feel there's some sort of bond between the two of you.
Yeah, you do. And I think this, certainly, like I said, from a personal point of view, I think there was that bond. And, you know, when I think one of the biggest things I tried to put across, which, you know what, I think it's important, is it, once you drop into the out of the Football League, you know, people think if you've got a good history, you have a divine right to get back in. It's non-league, we should be. And, you know, every year you see non-league clubs knocking league clubs out there. Mm. So it shouldn't be a surprise anymore. It's a tough league. You know, there's a lot of ex-league clubs in there. And you know, and I was confident with, you know, with the right backing and support that, you know, we'd, during that two-year agreement, that I'd get the club back in the league.
My special guest today is Gary Brabin, former Tranmere Rovers boss. Next week, a couple of names coming up. Mark Lawrenson's in, as is Jack Hunter Spivey. He was in the Paralympics, wheelchair gold in the table tennis. And he's coming at a most remarkable story. So listen on Tuesday and Wednesday for those guests as well. Gary, if you look back now, you had a full season at Tranmere Rovers. What was the objective from day one for them? Was it just straight away get back in the Football League in the first season, or was it a more realistic objective than that?
Yeah, I think certainly the ambition was to get back into the Football League, but our realistic goal was to, you know, we set out to recruit more local players, which you know we certainly done well on that front.
Which had been in the history of the football club anyway, hadn't it? I mean, Tranmere's great days were arguably built around some great local talent.
Yeah, I think it was important, and I think, you know, I knew the club from like friends playing for them in the past, and I think they'd lost that identity a little bit with, you know, there's a lot of people from afar. You know, they've always had players. You know, they've had some great players from as far as Ireland and, you know, even Jamaica. But, you know, I think the heart of the club was mainly local lads, you know, and I think I tried to get that back into the club, which, you know, we were certainly doing that. And it was to be in and around the playoffs and be competitive, you know, and I think...
So there was never some sort of conversation as you have to get us up within this first season by the
chairman. I think it was always going to be unrealistic to do that. Like I said, it was... I think everyone even thought that, you know, the supporters, I mean, a lot of the supporters I spoke to, you know, they were saying it's going to take us 2 or 3 years. So I think, you know, everyone realistically knew it, you know, it was going to be impossible for a club that it certainly nosedived in the last few years into the non-league scene. And so it was going to be unrealistic to do that. So, you know, we were... Pleased, disappointed. We missed out the last game of the season on getting in the playoffs. It was the last 20 minutes.
I was going to say, you arrived late, didn't you? At the very end of the season. Yeah. It's so frustrating looking back at it.
I think from Christmas onwards, we were looking more like where we wanted to be and where we were going. And our form from Christmas onwards was excellent. You know, and I think we certainly started that form beginning of the season. And like I said, that was, you know, I was confident that, you know, we'd achieve our goal this season. It was always going to be unrealistic the first year, but it was something that we all wanted and we tried hard to achieve, but just missed out on that. But like I said, we were on track. The best start in the club's history. You know, it was a good start, and I just felt like if we could have brought one or two more players in, just to strengthen the squad a little bit. We were a bit short on numbers.
Was that what it was? Was it just missing a couple for you?
Yeah, I think the last game, going into the last game, we were down to the bare bones. I think you know, it was frustrating from my point of view because, you know, we had to start the game with players who weren't even, you know, shouldn't have played that day. So that was frustrating. But you know, it wasn't through a lack of trying. You know, we just needed to get a couple more bodies in, but of quality. And like I said, I think I felt like we would have certainly achieved our goal.
A very fervent fan base. Well, that's great, but with that as well comes an added pressure, doesn't it? Maybe a different pressure from your managerial spells at maybe Southport or Cambridge United. You know, they're a very passionate lot, aren't they? Over
yeah, they are. And it's understandable. You know, it's a working class club. You know, and they want to see the club back with the great times where, you know, they had them great few years where, you know, they were rising to the Championship, you know, sustained being in the Championship, and had a good few cup runs as well along the way. And, you know, everyone always remembers the good times, but, you know, I think the last few years it was getting harder, you know, and like I said, they nosedived the last few years, and it was always going to be, I think they'll certainly get back there, you know, and I was hoping that I'd be given enough time to be that man, but you know, I certainly think they'd be getting back in the right direction.
And this season?
Yeah, I do. I do think they'll. I certainly think Tranmere are the best team in the league.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I do. I think they've got the best players. Yeah, I do. I'm still confident.
And they'll show it by the end of the season. Let's have a look at some of the highlights of your spell at Tranmere Rovers. So, just picked out a few of the games. So, Barrow Tranmere was obviously a famous, it was a mini Istanbul, wasn't it? 3-1 down, heading into the 89th minute. I remember being sat at home looking at this on my my score update app on my phone and thinking, no, this can't be happening. All sorts of abuse raining in from the sidelines, wasn't there? 3-1 down at Barrow. Just explain the story from what happens there.
Yeah, we'd gone 1-0 up and, you know, a lot of the teams, you know, just sort of parked the bus and try and get us on the counter-attack. And that was one of the things we addressed, certainly at home. That was an issue. So we were away at Barrow and we were winning 1-0. Then they've equalised, you know, and we were disappointed with the draw. So we've really gone for the win. And then it was just, you know, so we're looking out, we've gone 2-1 down, then 3-1 down. And, you know, we're all looking, thinking, how have we lost this game?
You know, what are you thinking as a manager in terms of what we should do then? Damage limitation? Or?
No, certainly not. We changed it. We went more attacking. We changed the system a little bit and we went more attacking. And the next, I don't know what it was, 5, 6, 7 minutes of, oh man, I think most of that was injury time, you know, to score 3 goals and win the game 4-3. It was, you know, it was brilliant. And
was it the craziest thing you've seen as a manager?
It was certainly, you know, the amount of time that we had. I think it's always good, you know, as a manager, as a player, as a supporter, you know, we all love comebacks. You know, I know Liverpool love, you know, the Champions League final when you come back after being. I think all supporters love that, and I think anyone involved in football, I think comebacks are always the best games to win, and you know, and it was certainly good from that front.
Yeah, cracking game. Brilliant scoreline at the end of the day. Tranmere Chester. So this was the 12th of September 2015. First meeting between the sides for 25 years. It was success for Tranmere. A couple of goals in that game. Norwood was one of the scorers there. The local derbies, did that mean a lot to you?
It sounds like an old cliche, but every game...
They're all the same?
Not all the same, but you know, you go into the game with the same determination. And you know, it was... you know, obviously it meant more with the fans being a local game and a game that they hadn't played against each other for a while. So it was a good game. And I remember Norwood's goal was an excellent goal. You know, a bit of individuality. He's got the ball and he's gone past a couple of defenders. It was a great goal. So it was a good win and a good performance.
Norwood, is the talent that he's showing now, scoring consistently?
Yeah, I think he was a real asset. He was my first signing when I went into Tranmere and... struggled a little bit this year with injuries and knocks and that. So, you know, but we were confident that him and Cook could have a good understanding. Mm. And, you know, and I think Cookie's started really well as well this year. So they've certainly got goals, and I think that was something that we never had in abundance last year. We scored as a team, right throughout the team. I think we were the first team in England for all the players to score. But we never had an out-and-out goal scorer, which was something that we wanted to improve on this year, you know, with helping Norwood. And, you know, I think Cookie was certainly that.
Right, quite aptly, I've put down on my list Forest Green Tranmere, not just because of last night, but obviously emotional for yourself as an Everton fan, because it was the same day that Howard Kendall passed away. The news emerged of that. But you travelled to Forest Green on that day and a 2-0 winner, Gary Taylor-Fletcher scoring on his debut for Tranmere. What do you remember of the day?
I remember waking up in the hotel. We stayed in the hotel. It was a good 45 minutes away from Forest Green. And I was talking to the captain, Geno. Mm. You know, he's a big Evertonian as well. And the pair of us was distraught. You know, Howard Kendall, he was the manager. You know, Jordan Ardier, who, you know, brought great times to the club. He was a real gentleman as well. And I was fortunate enough to have met Howard a few times. He was a lovely fella. And, you know, he was a real character and Everton through and through. And, you know, we were gutted. I remember having breakfast, me and Geno, we were absolutely gutted. But, you know, from our point of view, we've ended up playing the game, and it was arguably our best performance of the season. We won 2-0. Gary Taylor-Fletcher had just signed, I think it was the day before, and he scored after, I think it was 4 minutes.
It's an emotional day then. But what brought the best out of the side on that day?
No, I think we've always had that in us. You know, Forest Green were an attack-minded team. They were doing well. They were undefeated at the time. You know, and it was, we knew it was going to be a tough game, but we felt that we could hurt them because they'd come out and attack us. And, you know, and it was a good game, real good performance. And like I said, it was a great win.
So those are a couple of the highlights of the Torquay-Tranmere game as well. That could be a highlight. The start of this season, the run you went on, winning 6 of the 7 matches. You know, you've only had a season to look back on, but what is it that stands out for you that you think, oh, I'm quite proud of that or that we did?
No, I think you could just see it gelling together. You know, we knew where, you know, we knew if we keep everyone fit, we'd be a real force. Mm. But, you know, you can't rely on that. And, you know, you're going to get injuries and suspensions as the season prolongs. So it was important that we strengthened. And like I said, it was something that we tried hard to do. But for whatever reason, that never happened. And like I said, we started losing key players. You know, I think losing Connor Jennings. We lost Connor Jennings. We lost Jeff Hughes. You know, two big players for us. And I remember us going to Sutton. The captain Jennings shouldn't have played. You know, but he's old hearted and he's got the club at heart. You know, he's a big Evertonian, but you know, he's also a Rovers fan as well. Not you know, he's had 3 stints at the club. He's, you know, he really loves the club. And you know, he played when he maybe shouldn't have. And 20 minutes into the game, 2 players come off injured. So we were really down to the bare bones. We ended up finishing the game as well, the last 20-odd minutes with 10 men because of injuries. You know, someone's ended up coming off injured again. So it was tough. We knew we needed to strengthen if we were going to sustain the challenge over the season. And like I said, it was... The decision was a shock to me because, like I said, it was the best start in the club's history. I was currently manager of the month. We were only 4 points off the top.
Have you still got that award up on the side of you?
Well, I don't know where it is. I've destroyed the house, haven't I, in the meantime, so I can't find
it. It's under the rubble.
Yeah, but, so obviously, the big disappointment for me is not that I've not been able to finish that because, you know, a lot of hard work's gone into putting that squad of players together. And like I said, I feel like we've got everything now to I certainly think Tranmere are the best team in the league.
All managers end up losing their job. They do, don't they? It's a fact of football life, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose after the initial disappointment, you've got some good memories as well, haven't you, of your time there?
I mean, every manager normally loses the job, but they're normally fighting relegation or...
Not manager of the month.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a little bit... But, you know, it's... listen, I try and move on. It's probably disappointing. I'm not one of the people who looks back too often and, you know, dwell on the past. But, you know, it was a part of my life which I certainly don't regret. I enjoyed my time at Tranmere. I met some fantastic people there. And I still speak to a lot of them as well, you know, and, you know, I wish them well this season.
Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.